From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. If your goal is to get rich becoming a lawyer and representing the indigent, that would seem to be an unlikely career choice, representing people who don't have much money. But according to the Charlotte Observer, an attorney named Lucky Osho in Charlotte did just that, reportedly earning more than $700,000 in 2 years representing the poorest defendants. What the Observer uncovered was an honor system that one judge says is broken and may be costing the state of North Carolina millions of dollars every year. Ames Alexander is an investigative reporter with the Charlotte Observer and, along with Gary L. Wright, wrote the series that exposed the alleged billing scam. Ames, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
What is it that Lucky Osho and another attorney, is it Chiega Okwara, are accused of doing? Did I get the name right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, essentially what we found in Mr. Osho's case is that he repeatedly he appeared to repeatedly double bill for jail visits. In other words, he according to the records made a single trip to the jail to visit multiple inmates. And then the bills he submitted for that work made it appear as though he had made multiple trips to the jail. In other words, he billed separately for travel time, mileage, parking, and the like. So that allowed him to collect hundreds of extra dollars.
And tell us, before we find out how they allegedly got away with this, let's kind of straighten out the legal landscape here. How does this system work for those who are arrested and can't pay for an attorney?
Yeah, if you're arrested and can't pay for an attorney, you're constitutionally entitled to have one and to get effective assistance of counsel. And in many counties, in about 20 counties across the state, there are public defender's offices, and these are state-funded offices that will provide you an attorney. And in many other counties across the state, what happens is they will simply hire, they will get you a private lawyer to represent you on that case. Even in some counties with public defender's offices, those offices can get overloaded and they can sometimes have conflicts of interest, in which case they'll farm cases out to private lawyers. So we were writing about these private lawyers who do take on indigent cases on behalf of the state.
So you've got X number of public defenders. When you run out of those or when they're too busy, then you have to go consult with or contract with private attorneys.
Right.
And how does that, how do you get on? Are you on a list or is everybody conscripted? How do you become a public defender?
Yeah, there are various lists. There are lists of attorneys who are deemed qualified to handle felonies. Another list for attorneys deemed qualified to handle misdemeanors, juvenile cases, capital cases, and the like. So attorneys can get on multiple lists, and attorneys who do get on multiple lists and who never say no when they're asked can end up taking on a lot of cases.
Are there limits to what they can bill? Does the state set the rate at which they can bill, and how does it compare to their private practice in general?
Yeah. The state does set the rate. It's an hourly rate, $65 an hour for most cases, and it's $80 for capital cases, and then it's $90 for felony for federal cases rather. So. Compared to pay for private lawyers who often earn, you know, $250 and more an hour, that's not generous pay. But, you know, if you end up taking on a lot of cases, as some of these lawyers we wrote about, you can end up earning a lot of money.
Is there any sense among, you know, professionals about whether you're getting a better deal or a better attorney at the public defender's office, or whether one of the contract attorney might be a better lawyer?
Well, the State Indigent Defense Services Office thinks that generally public defender's offices are able to do a better job, and that they say that's because there is someone overseeing their work, and they're often given the opportunity to specialize in certain kinds of criminal work, much the way assistant district attorneys are. For instance, in a public defender's office, you might become a specialist in felony cases or misdemeanor cases or juvenile cases or capital cases. Generally, state officials think that people with public defender's offices tend to do a better job, and they say they also tend to do it in a more cost-efficient way. The state did a study that found that the state's public defenders saved North Carolina about $3 million in fiscal 2005.
So here's a case where outsourcing doesn't save money.
Correct.
Well, but accountability, I guess, is another factor. You raised that as one of the benefits of the public defender's office. How was it? First of all, how long had this allegedly been going on, and why was it not uncovered before now?
Well, it's really kind of the way the system works, it's kind of an honor system. In other words, the state doesn't require lawyers to submit really detailed accounts of the work that they did in cases. They don't require timesheets. And judges say they're often don't have the time and information they need really to critically study the bills that lawyers submit. So generally, when a lawyer submits a bill, it's just approved with no questions asked.
Well, how did you find out about this?
Well, what happened a little over a year ago, a judge in Charlotte got curious about how much money various appointed lawyers were earning. So he asked the State Indigent Defense Services Office to generate a list of the total amount that was earned by various appointed lawyers in town. And when they got that list back, he and some of the other judges were surprised to see how much some lawyers were making. And this kind of became the talk of the courthouse. And our courts reporter here, Gary Wright, picked up on that. And he asked me to work on the story with him.
So then you went back and looked at the billing records, and how were you able to determine that there might have been some double billing involved?
Well, what we did, we looked at a combination of billing records and jail records, and we were able to see cases in which a lawyer visited multiple people in the jail on a given day, and then we were able to go to their timesheets for those clients. And what we saw when we did that is we saw that in some cases these lawyers were billing multiple times for travel time, mileage, parking, for what the records indicated was a single trip to the jail.
So what's happening now that your expose has been published? Any charges to be filed? Can there be? And is there an investigation underway?
Yeah, a federal judge here, Graham Mullen, has asked federal authorities to investigate this. Meanwhile, there's a local committee that essentially determines which lawyers are eligible to defend the poor. And so here in Charlotte, what they have done is they've temporarily taken Mr. Osho off that list while they look into it further. They're going to let him present his side. And what Mr. Osho and his lawyers have said is that, that he says he works really hard to defend the poor. He says that he has not overbilled, and his lawyers say that if there were any billing errors, they were unintentional.
If this has been discovered in Charlotte, does it suggest that it might be going on elsewhere?
Well, IDS, while saying
IDS
that,
is the Indigent Defense
Service.
The
State Indigent Defense Services Office. First off, they say, you know, the vast majority of lawyers who are doing appointed work are billing accurately and honestly. But that said, they've got some real questions and concerns about what's going on with some lawyers in Mecklenburg County. And they say that it would surprise them if similar things weren't happening at least some of the time elsewhere in the state.
And Mecklenburg has a defender's, public defender's office that is the sort of first tier. Other places, I suppose, do most of their public defending through outsourcing.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Any sense that this honor system is about to be reformed?
Well, in Mecklenburg, here in Charlotte, they have recently begun requiring lawyers to submit timesheets. That's not a statewide requirement. But here in Charlotte, they've also very recently hired someone whose job it will be to review those timesheets and to look for cases where there appears to be excessive billing.
Ames, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Nice job, by the way.
Ames, I appreciate it.
Ames Alexander is an investigative reporter with the Charlotte Observer. Just ahead, there's no need to fear. Poetry is here. I can't believe I did that. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.